Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Notice especially what we have here in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 6 through 8, and that which is found in parenthesis in the King James Version, for it gives us the reason for the Apostle Paul's confidence that he expresses in this Word of God. For we walk by faith, not by sight. It is only by faith that the child of God realizes that being absent in the body is being present with the Lord. So much so that he can say, as the Apostle Paul does in verse 8, we are confident, not only, but rather willing, even desirous, that we may be absent from this body so that we may be present with the Lord. On September 11th, 2001, the United States of America experienced a most terrible disaster. Two most brilliant products of modern civilization toppled before our very eyes, airplane and skyscraper. Death and destruction visited our country, and we have been shocked and frightened and grief-stricken. Indeed, if we depend merely on what we have seen and what we continue to hear and see with our naked eye, with our human understanding, then a certain dread fills our minds and fills the air, because the question arises, what next? How crucial it is for us, especially as the people of God, to continue to walk not by sight, but by faith. Glued to the television, I say to you, to the radio, to our newspapers and the internet, we stand in danger of fainting. That is, after all, exactly the plan of the evil one, and who is behind all the wicked, and behind all the terrorists, and behind all the evildoers. Rather, 1 John 5 verse 5 tells us we must walk in the victory which overcometh the world, even our faith. By faith, we must see the almighty hand of a sovereign God who ordains all things. By faith, I say, by faith alone can one understand and explain what has happened. And by faith, one can remain strong. By vibrant faith, trusting in Christ, we will be able to endure not only wars, rumors of wars and persecution, but death itself. Do you walk by faith instead of by sight? We today continue our series on preparing to die willingly. And the question is, are you facing the reality of your death by faith? We want to consider, on the basis of this Word of God, what faith is in general, so that we can understand really then how that faith is applied to death. How that faith affects the attitude of the child of God to his or her death. May God be pleased to give us that faith and increase our faith so that we may, through that faith, endure death not only, but prepare to die willingly. We read in verse 7 of this passage in 2 Corinthians 5, for we walk by faith, not by sight. In other words, true faith is contrary to what we see with the naked eye. This is a crucial part of our text, even though we find it in the parenthesis in the King James Version. For on the basis of this principle, we will be able to endure all things, even death itself. And what is that principle? For we walk, we live. Yes, we take each step of our way, and then even we enter into death, not by sight, but by faith. Actually, this is not the first time the Apostle Paul has pointed to this reality. Already in 2 Corinthians 4, and the last part of that chapter, we read, for our light affliction, verses 17 and 18, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Notice, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. In other words, there are two kinds of seeing. Better believe it. There are two kinds of eyesight. The one is with the physical eye, the natural eye, the eye with which we were born. Paul says that is emphatically not the eyesight by which the child of God walks. What does that eyesight tell us? I mean, what do we see with the naked eye without faith? It tells us on the one hand that everything about mankind will turn out okay. It's good. It will all turn out well for men. Just look at the heroes of the world. Just look at the goodness of men. Look at how they are united and seek to be compassionate even in times of war and distress. Look at how the world is coming together in spite of all the wars and rumors of wars, trying to establish a world kingdom. In fact, that goodness will destroy evil, man imagines, that there will be one people who will stand up good over against evil and destroy that evil. On the other hand, I say to you, this physical eyesight makes us think, all is bad, all is doom, there is no hope. We are attacked, we are frightened, we are in distress, we are vulnerable, and even all the so-called peace plans seem to falter and fail. In spite of all the consolations and assurances, we are very fearful. We know how painful death is, and we ask, what if it hit us? And this is also true for the Christian when he begins to depend again on the physical eye. When we do not walk by faith, and we begin to depend again on what we see with this naked eye, as Peter did, for example, when he took his eyes off the Lord and then began to drown in the waters. Remember? The raging sea of the world, with all its temptations, with all its opposition, with all its troubles, will surely cast us down. We cannot walk merely with this physical eye. We must walk by faith, not by sight. Faith has different eyes, spiritual eyes, based on God's holy word. We see that which cannot be seen with the naked eye. The things not which are earthly and temporal, but the things which are invisible and eternal. Faith, in other words, is able to see things that are unseen. Yes, by faith we see Christ. Though with our physical eyes we have never seen Him, by faith we see heaven and the glory that awaits all those who fear Him. That faith makes us active. That faith causes us to embrace and to walk in and through Jesus Christ. Because you see that faith is the bond that unites us to the Lord. He is the vine. We are the branches. Without Him we can do nothing. But when God in His mercy takes us, those dead branches, and joins us to Jesus Christ the vine, the life giver, then we become alive and we live and we do that which is pleasing to God, and we begin to look at life differently. Not as the world does, but as Christ does, with Christ living in us, and we, by faith, joined to Him. You know, the world, too, has its own outlook, its own quote-unquote faith, faith in humanism. The world trusts where it has been cheated. The world trusts where there is the lie. The worldling refuses to trust where there is truth. The world wants to trust, and the unbeliever wants to put his faith in perhaps some kind of higher power that will compromise with the rock of ages, with stones and idols, and then call it God. Yes, if we are going to merely walk by this physical eyesight, then surely we will be swayed with all kinds of falsehoods. We would join with what by and large is today considered the way to go, a world religion, an ecumenical movement, a way which would compromise the Word of God with the philosophy of men. but faith which is worked by the Holy Spirit and which makes us partakers of Christ's benefits will say, no, we look to God's Word. And we know that it is this Word of our God which will abide forever. That's how we must look at life. That's how we must look at death. Because if not, we will not be prepared to die willingly. Because then we will ever be fearful of that time when our last breath is taken from us. Because then there is no basis. Then there is no hope. If we live and depend upon the whims and fancies of this changing world. But when we have faith, faith of the Son of God, then we have the knowledge of our justification. We know that God has made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21. Amazingly, we have been made the righteousness of God in Him, and we know for us to live is Christ, and then if we die, we gain. By faith, we know our sanctification, because we are made new creatures in Christ. All things are passed away, all things have become new. We are joined to Him, our head. We already sit now in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And by faith, we not only know our justification and our sanctification, but also our glorification. That's how this chapter of God's Word begins. We know that we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have that building which is in the heavens. We know that by faith. We have that building of God, which in the light of the disaster of the toppling of the buildings on September 11, point us to the reality that if our eyesight is on this world and if all we see is the prosperity and the power of men, then it will all be dissolved. Every single brick one day will topple. But our faith is not in the world. Faith of Jesus Christ is in God and in the things revealed by God in His Word. Now, we want to consider on the basis of our text especially, our faith as it regards to death. Whilst we are at home in the body, Paul writes, we are absent from the Lord. In other words, while we are alive, we are really not at the most blessed place. Interesting word is used here, home, being among God's own people. While we are alive, we are at home. We are present in the body. We are, so to speak, among our own people. God's people, however, have a different home. And when they are here, present in this present tabernacle, though being earthy, they truly are those who have an attachment to this present life and oftentimes find it difficult to face the reality of separation. Yet nevertheless, they know that this present home is but a tent, a tabernacle which must be folded up. This home is temporary. It's not permanent. It is brief, 70 or 80 years. It can end suddenly. By faith, we must see that. By faith, we must realize that there is another home. The home that the people of God have always known as their home. God's people throughout the ages have looked for that city which have foundations whose builder and maker is God. They realize that when they leave this body, this present quote-unquote home, this present place of our family and friends, then we arrive at the eternal home with God, with the holy angels, and with His precious children. The Father's house of many mansions where God is preparing in Christ a place for all His children, and then will come in our death. For us, for each one of us, when our place is ready. Paul writes, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Yes, it is far better to depart from here because then we go to be present with the Lord. Again, as we have pointed out through this series, the Word of God teaches no such thing as an intermediate state, no purgatory as the papists falsely teach, no soul sleep as if until the day of resurrection there is no existence, no conscious existence of the saints. No, we have a building not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, and faith assures us of that. Faith tells us that immediately we go to be present with the Lord. It is true, we look for the resurrection of our bodies in the final day. And then, body and soul, we shall be in the new heavens and the new earth. But immediately, the child of God, when he dies, goes home to be with Christ. Christ, his Lord, died and rose, did he not? He ascended to the Father's right hand, did he not? Does not the scriptures clearly teach us that because our head is there, so also, since our flesh is sitting at the right hand of God, we in principle are already there and therefore set our affection on things above and not on things below. Is that your hope and desire? Can you say that you'd rather be absent from this body to be present with the Lord? Or is this life more precious? The psalmist says the opposite. He says, "Thy loving kindness, O Lord, is better than life." Oh no, this does not mean that we have a kind of an pessimistic look on life. Worse yet, suicidal thoughts about life. It does not mean that we go around, what I like to say, a banana look on our face as if, oh, we wish we could die. Oh no, we live because God gives us life. And we joyfully live awaiting the appointed time where the Lord will take us home. We walk right now by faith. We must continue to walk by faith until the Lord in his appointed time brings us home where we belong. But it does mean this, beloved, that the child of God realizes that this world, this present body, this present earth is not really his home. His faith affects him with regard to his life and with regard to his death. Paul writes in verse 8, "We are confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Always confident, he says, always cheerful, always happy. Twice this is repeated in our text, so that he says, "I am of good courage." Does that mean the Apostle Paul had no fears at all, no anxieties, that he was courageous at every single moment of his life and that there were no concerns? Oh no, he surely did not mean that. Twice in this passage he speaks about groaning, and how true it is that, as Romans 8 tells us, we groan. There's suffering, there's pain, but yet by faith, the faith of the Son of God, those groanings are turned to cries of faith, and we are brave. We are confident always. We are courageous because we know that that faith by which we walk is not of men, but of God. We know that that faith, the gift of God by which we have now our eyes been made open to see, give us the hope of eternal life. In a moment, will fly before our very eyes all the things of this present life. As when wars come and rumors of wars more and more abound, as when death comes for each one of us. But the text says, therefore we are always confident. You know why we are told therefore? Because what our text does, it gives to us a connection with what the Apostle Paul has been writing previously in this passage of Scripture. He has told us that we have this confidence that we have a building made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And though we groan now, he says in verse 5, "He that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident." This is the basis of our faith. This is the reason why we have faith, to see that we are not at home here, but we will be at home when we finally go to be with the Lord. You know what that is? because we now have the earnest of the Spirit. It's the Spirit that has worked faith in our hearts. And because God has given us His Spirit as an earnest, which means God has given to us as a down payment, a proof, a pledge that He has begun that good work in us. Therefore, we are assured that because we have that pledge, we have that proof, that pledge from God Himself, we will abide to the end. We will walk by faith. We will not walk by sight. We will to the end be confident and willing rather. We're not only sure, but in fact we are desirous by the grace of God to be prepared to die. Now we only have a temporary home, but we have come to see, though not fully, that the day will come when we will enter into the eternal abode which God has prepared for His holy angels and all His redeemed saints. And then we shall see the Lord face to face, and then we shall worship Him and walk in that faith of the Son of God. Amen. O God, cause Thy word to go to the nations, and gather Thy people, quickening them from death unto life, through Jesus Christ Thy Son. Amen.